So in today's reading, Jeremiah is trying to answer a question that none of us ever want to have to ask. And that question is, what do we do? How do we go on when the bottom falls out? In the face of complete devastation, how do we keep on keeping on? Now, as Annette mentioned in the introduction to the reading, Jeremiah is writing at a very dark time in Israel's history. As I mentioned in previous weeks, the nation of Israel had been split into two kingdoms, the northern kingdom and the southern kingdom. They were at war with one another. Assyria, a neighboring nation, had actually come in and conquered the northern kingdom of Israel. And then in turn, Babylon, another nation, came in and conquered Assyria, absorbed the northern kingdom, and then came in and actually conquered the southern kingdom as well. The Israelites had found their homes had been destroyed, their villages had been razed, family members and friends had been killed. And then to make matters even worse, both the Syrians and the Babylonians had this interesting kind of tactic that they used to subdue their captive populations. Now, they would actually resettle conquered peoples into other conquered territories. So what they did is they went into Israel, they conquered it, and they plucked the majority of the population, the bulk of the population, especially the rich, the powerful, the well-educated, and they resettled them into other conquered areas in Babylon. Now, they did this as a way of decentering people, as a way of destabilizing them. Because if you're busy just trying to find out how to make a life, you're not going to be able to organize, you're not going to be able to cause a rebellion. Now, interestingly enough, the prophet Jeremiah was deemed by Babylon as being so unimportant, so worthless, that he was actually left behind in the southern kingdom. They left him alone, and so Jeremiah is actually writing. He's actually illiterate, so he's not writing. His scribe, Baruch, is writing for him, is writing this letter to the exiles that have been taken over to Babylonian territories. To make matters even worse for these poor Israelites, is they're not monotheists. They're not good monotheists like you and me are monotheists. Right? We believe that there's one God, and if you go to Papua New Guinea, God is still God, and if you go to Australia, God is still God. If you go to South America, God is still God. But these Israelites aren't yet monotheists. They'll get there eventually. They're not there yet. And I'm going to give you a $5 word to take home to make sure you're getting your money's worth. They're monolatrous, it's called. Monolatrous. Which means that they don't believe there's just one God. They believe that there's a lot of different gods. But they believe that they owe their worship and their allegiance to a single God, the God of Israel, the God of the Bible. That's the God they worship. However, they think that these other gods are real, and they think these other gods are in control of other nations. So not only are they plucked out of their homes, not only are they taken out of their ancestral homeland, away from their jobs, their families, and plopped into this new land, this new land is controlled by a hostile foreign god. For an Israelite in 587 BC, this is the definition of the bottom falling out. And on the hearts of all the Israelites who are exiled in Babylon, there's a question burning on their hearts. How do we go on? And it's that question that Jeremiah is trying to answer in his letter. I think if we take just a couple seconds to consider all the events that are happening in our country alone over the past few months, I think we'll quickly recognize that there are a lot of our fellow Americans who are asking themselves that very same question. How can we go on from here? The bottom's fallen out. just 3 weeks ago, November 5th, at a church very much like our church, sanctuary very similarly constructed, a congregation just this size down in Sutherland Springs, Texas. A church had gathered at 11 a.m., just like we gather for worship at 11 a.m. They sang some songs. They actually had a worship team, two guys with guitars and a female vocalist. They sang some contemporary worship hymns, and they prayed some prayers, and they were just getting into reading the scripture lesson for the day when a man pulled into the church parking lot, got out with an assault rifle, and started shooting at the church from the outside, first from the back, and then from the sides. Then he walked into the church and continued his rampage. And when the smoke had cleared, 28 members of a 50-member church just like ours were dead. 20 others were injured. Now, among the deceased was the daughter of the pastor. The pastor happened to be away that Sunday. The guest preacher was a longtime member of the church, a guy by the name of Brian Holcomb. He was there with his wife. He was there with his father. He was there with his son and his daughter-in-law, who happened to be with child. He happened to be there with his 4 grandchildren. And in the violence of that moment, 3 generations of the Holcomb family perished. The only survivor was 86-year-old Joel Holcomb, who watched 3 generations that he helped birth, that he helped raise. He watched them die in front of him. So later that week, not 5 days later from when this utter, just horrible tragedy, the definition of tragedy, happened, the pastor of the church got together with the deacons. And I don't know if they had Jeremiah 29 in their hearts, but these are Baptists down in Texas, so you better believe that they know their scripture, probably a lot better than us. But it was probably working in there somewhere. And they sent out an email to the remaining members of the congregation. And they said, this Sunday, 7 days after this attack, we will worship. We will have worship at 11 a.m. We can't do it in our sanctuary because that's being repaired for the memorial service. But they rented a tent out on a baseball field in the town. And they gathered, and they prayed, and they sang, and they read scripture. In the throes of their grief, the tears had not even stopped running down their cheeks yet. What do you do when the bottom has fallen out? How do you go on? The members of First Baptist Church down in Sutherland Springs arrived at the same answer that the prophet Jeremiah arrived at. And the answer is to simply put one foot in front of another and keep on living. I don't know about you, but that feels like underwhelming advice. It's not the quick fix that we would like. Because when you've experienced a tragedy like that, when you've experienced grief like that, the hardest thing to do sometimes is just get out of bed in the morning. It's hard to put one foot in front of the other. It's hard just to keep on living. And Jeremiah in text says, this isn't going to be an easy process. This is going to take a long time. He promises the exiles in Israel that it's going to be 70 years before they're restored to wholeness, before they're restored home. And in biblical talk, 70 years is a shorthand for a very long time. And at the end of this passage, Jeremiah actually warns us. He says, beware of those liars and deceivers and those false prophets who will tell you that this is going to be easy, that tell you that restoration is right around the corner, because it is going to be long and it is going to be hard. But there is good news in this passage. There is profound promise in this passage, because Jeremiah says is that as hard as it is, if you put one foot in front of the other, if you just live life, if you build a home and settle down in it, if you plant a garden and eat what it produces, if you get married and have kids, and then when they come of age, you help them find partners and do the same. If you just continue to live life, you'll eventually get to a point where you seek and can find God once again. And although it's out there in the distance, although it takes time and you have to walk through a lot of pain and agony to get there, when you get to that moment, when you find God again, your lost wholeness and your lost sense of home, God promises to us. He promises they will be restored. May it be so. Amen.